The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I'm gonna kill you, bitch.
Hi, everybody. This is Sarah.
And this is Megan.
And you are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome.
Yes. We were this week picked by PodSauce. Alicia Renee said our names, our two names.
Oh, on the interwebs.
On their show / podcast, and picked ours as her murder most foul true crime pick. And I scream pooped. Scream pooped. Yeah. It was so exciting, like really exciting that we're even, they do shows that have all these famous people.
They literally interview famous people.
Super famous people and people doing really important podcasts that maybe make a difference to society. See what I mean, Randy?
Randy. They interview people who know how to edit.
Oh,
so
yes.
That when the cat,
like a professional,
butthole goes in their face, they can edit it out.
They probably don't even have cat buttholes in their basement,
probably
shitty
not.
Basement studio.
No.
My basement is shittier than the Silence of the Lambs basement. Buffalo Bill. Shittier.
Put the lotion in the basket. Yeah. Put the lotion in the basket.
Fuck you, Precious. Randy. But that was very exciting for us. So thank you so much.
That's a great way to start off.
Alicia, you are just a dream. A dream.
That's a great way. Did I just burp in the microphone?
Probably.
Sorry.
My God.
Sarah and I are celebrating our last night of winter break from the deodorant factory with a mini bottle of Prosecco.
A baby bottle.
It's a baby.
Yeah. LaMarca comes out with tiny baby bottles. I mean, you still could be a booze hound and have like 47 of them, but you don't feel as
much
of a butthole.
Fizz, and they just make me a little gassy, but delicious and a great way to end a break that was riddled with uncertainty, sickness, Hallmark movies.
Oh.
Drunken,
terrible
debacles,
drunken behavior.
Terrible drunken.
Not by
debacles,
me, but by you.
And the death of our dear lady, queen of all, Betty White.
Right. She's my glitter. If we're just starting.
Oh my
glitter.
God, I didn't know she was your glitter.
Well, that's good. You just went right into it. You like had perfect professional segue skill.
Yeah.
I chose not her death, obviously, as my glitter, but I don't know who wrote it on Twitter. I always look on Twitter, and I never did, and now I do all the time.
I don't know why. I don't understand it.
Randy. And it's Basement 2. It's a shit show. I'm sorry. Someone said, like, here, Betty White lives to 99. She gave us 8 decades of entertainment. She was in TV for 8 decades in entertainment, and you still like would want 8 more decades from her. Like there just aren't any performers around where 8 decades isn't enough. You still want more from her. So she died really we could all come together. Our nation is a
divided nation.
And I think even the QAnons liked Betty White. I don't know if she was on their pedophile blood-sucking list.
I never saw her face.
Yeah, I don't. And I don't think she's on their Epstein flight.
I don't think she's on the flight list either. No.
So I think they liked her.
She's never been to Epstein's Island.
I don't
as far
think so.
As I
and
can
I'm
tell.
Pretty sure she hasn't ever killed a baby and drank its blood for youth because she died old, right?
Yeah.
So QAnons, I think you liked Betty White too.
So it was a shock for all of us.
It was. It you knew what was going to happen, obviously. But I just, I don't know. I wish she would have made it to her 100th birthday so she could have watched another celebration of people just really telling her how much we love her. I think that would have been fun for her.
I heard it's still going to happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm sure they will celebrate her. No, just celebrate her life probably now.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was ripping on Ryan Reynolds as of two days before she died.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, awesome.
Hi. She, hi.
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 I don't know why I did that.
Sometimes your brain ain't right.
Hey, that was so weird. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I know we talk about the Golden Girls all the time and we've done like Sophia Burns and stuff, but the Golden Girls legitimately is one of our favorite shows.
No, I watched
together.
It so much when I was pregnant with Rachel. So
yes.
This is like 21 years ago that literally she was a tiny, teeny, tiny newborn, like in the 6 weeks I was still home. And her eyes and kind of head would turn when the Golden Girls theme song came on. And I was like, oh my God, she knows what it is.
She already knows.
Because she heard it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, she grew up knowing, watching
right.
it. I mean, just she probably, everything went over her head, but she watched, she's seen every episode. She still watches it all the time.
For sure. I think for a lot of moms doing late night feedings, Golden Girls were big for us because it was on like all night.
It was on all the time.
And when I had Rory and had horrendous postpartum depression and wanted to kill myself and everyone and just curl into a ball and die, that's what I would watch all night long.
It's immense comfort show.
So it is, and it's funny. And like I look over, like just when I sat down tonight, I looked over to my right, and on my little desk, I have Betty White's little
she's right
magnet.
There.
Yes, because she was. Remember, when we dressed up like them for Halloween, and I was Betty. I was Rose.
I was Dorothy.
And then when I sat down to have my coffee this morning, my Betty White coaster was on my table. Like she lives in me.
Well, she
and
someone else too said she blew like a huge hole in the earth. I did too because it's
with her butthole.
My butthole.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, think of the impact this one woman made.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Golden Girls, I mean, that just, what show is like that for people?
Where I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. And five older women living together and people just watch it constantly.
The
I
gays
mean, four
loved it?
Older
yeah,
women.
Four. I was like, five.
I don't know why I said four.
Well, sometimes.
Five.
Remember when Dorothy's bitch sister would come?
And well, then there was Stan, and
then
there was Miles, and
whatever the fuck Miles turned into.
Well, he can go fuck himself.
Yeah, Miles. Anyway, I am glad that you.
Yeah, so I just her life, and being able this, you know, after she died, we just watched a few Golden Girls episodes, and just how goddamn talented all of them were.
Yeah, and they weren't afraid to talk about real stuff and
everything, and it showed that women can be older, God forbid, in their 50s and still be active and smart and sexy and worthwhile and not just be like washed away slugs like they were in Hollywood at that time.
Right,
you hit 35 and you were done. Even Elizabeth Taylor couldn't she was gorgeous at 35 and her roles started drying up. Like, my God.
Nicole
idiots.
Kidman saying that now, too. I just read an interview with her.
I mean, it's just women need to then be writers of their own stories and more directors. And it's so hard.
Can you imagine a story about women our age?
Yeah.
I mean, antics.
That's not already been told because they just repeat the same ones. Think of something.
And the moms didn't look like perfect moms in tight jeans and a little
We need
button-down
slobs.
Shirt with a cardigan. We need slobs.
Right. Yeah. Just terrible slobs.
Just like us. My glitter. Is that what we're doing? Glitter in the
let's
shitters?
Start with glitter.
Okay, so my glitter in the shitter was a lip gloss that I stole from my daughter on New Year's Eve. I don't usually wear lipstick. which is weird, but
which is weird because you sold it to your friends and that stuff was spendy.
It was. And I mean, yeah, I just, you know, now we're just old and wrinkly and no one gives a fuck.
You have a mask on all day at your job.
Yes.
You
and we also haven't been out of the house forever. So,
no, we're shut-ins.
And masks. But so for New Year's Eve, I decided I was going to try to put a little color on my lip, and I stole some out of Sadie's makeup bag that was on the counter. And when I put it on, I thought, holy fuck, this is something special. It was Tarte Maracuja Juicy Lip Gloss is what it's called.
Maracuja?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're doing that right. What is it called?
Maracuja Tarte Lip Gloss. Tarte with an E at the end. Yeah. Lip gloss.
Your lips looked beautiful.
It is Maracuja Juicy Lip.
How do you spell this Maracuja?
Maracuja. This felt like I was putting butter on my lips. Like, it was so smooth and silky. It felt good. Like I was putting a lip gloss on, but it was pretty and it was super shiny. And it wasn't like out of a tube, you know, like with applicator. It was like a lipstick type of a lip gloss. And it is something special, you guys. It is $9.
Ooh.
$19.
My ooh goes to a.
Yeah, I know.
You know what?
That's a lot for some. But I'm telling you.
You looked fabulous.
Now, I got that for my daughter to put in her birthday gift basket. And I didn't really know what it was. I was just like, oh, look, it's a cute little pack. You know, it was like a lip gloss and a liner and a whatever. But when I stole it, I was very upset that I had not kept it for myself. So,
well, just steal it again.
I'm going to go. Now they have it at Target because the Ultas are at Target.
If you go to a certain Target.
Yeah,
that
if
I don't
you have an
to.
Ulta at your Target, you can get them there.
And then you can use your your Target card.
Yes. This is, I mean, I raved about it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean, I have 800 lipsticks, so I like, and I haven't worn them in 2 years, but I still like lipstick.
Yeah.
This maybe, if it's like moisturizing too for the winter, then you got a 2-for-1.
This felt good, and it was the right amount of shine for my geriatric lips.
Right.
And speaking of lips, what were some of your favorite posts from our funny fuckers on Facebook?
If we go with your segue into it.
Yeah, that was
Amanda
another one of my professionals.
Amanda Beers wrote a terrific story that really, I think, all of us have experienced, especially our friend Horn with the long vagina. Sometimes when ladies sweat in the nethers, the butter area, and maybe you're wearing your biker shorts like Millie Vanilli, and you sit down and then you stand up and boy, howdy, you have some vag stains.
Yeah.
And you leave them there and it's terribly embarrassing, but what can you do? I mean, it's better than huge blood stains, I guess.
Which we've all left.
Or poop.
Those
I mean, that's a given. So that was hilarious because we've all been there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there and you die every time it happens again. You die.
The one time I exercised and sweat, that happened to me.
Wait, and then it's at every yoga studio and every, you know.
Oh, gross.
And then you half-ass clean those mats with their water and lavender essential oil.
Yeah, that aren't really.
It doesn't clean nothing.
Antibacterial or antiviral at all.
Of course, I thought a clear winner was Alicia Lampman. That I felt we need to hire as a historian or some sort of organizer or someone who does their job better than us. Clearly, she had a breakdown of some of her favorite quotes and I read those. And of course, the minute, like you might not know, but like the minute our show is done, we almost have no memory of what we've just said. I mean, really, we'll sit and go, okay, what was something we can use for
the
title?
We try to name it and then we're like, fuck,
did we talk about it?
Who are the people?
Yeah, we have no, I don't know. I think because we're mentally ill and kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But that was so fun. That was actually super fun. I had almost forgotten about the, oh, a pedophile would just tell me, let's just be friends. You know what, Sarah? We're just going to stay friends. I'm going to go with this little girl over here, all right? Can you get out of my van, please, now? Take the candy.
Here, let me open.
Yep, I'm opening the door.
Open the
get
door
out
for
now.
You.
Yep. Get out. No, you can't pet the puppy. Just get out. Oh, jeez. Taylor Milligan Sloan, I really like that she now works with the Carol. And she was so tempted to say, Carol, can you put your tits in that vice real quick? I told her, no, I think you should still.
Yeah, speaking of Carol, there's like a Doug in today's episode that we're going to have to talk about.
Oh, my.
It's Carol's male counterpart.
Cherie Baudon had her Gay Bob fashion book, which
hilarious.
Is, I mean, it's a gem. It's like a icon.
Yeah.
It's a gem. Like, you have to see it. I can't even. Sherry, it's so
is
good.
So lucky.
She is lucky.
God.
My goodness. She had a mom who was just ahead of the times.
She did.
So here, we're going to announce we have three new Patreons.
Bam, 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 bam,
but speaking of Jason Momoa for our Patreons, we don't have a Momoa this time, but I had a dream like two nights ago, and I'm so, it shows just how dumb I am and terribly pitiful. The dream was that I went to like a nerd con or something, you know, one of those sci-fi nerd things to
this
go
wasn't,
get
this wasn't real
this wasn't real oh, it was okay. actually a dream but it was like it was like,
not that you'd go
I would go to those
no.
in 2 seconds and now they're never gonna have them again and now he's too famous, he's never gonna go to those again. So I was waiting in line to get my picture with him, you know, and then I get up there and he says, whoa, nice shirt. And then I looked down and I was wearing a shirt that had He-Man pattern. And it was a button down shirt, and it had different He-Mans, like a pattern, different He-Mans standing, and then it was also a short sleeve button down with a collar with a He-Man pattern. And I remember looking and thinking to myself, "Oh my God, why did I wear that shirt? Like, why didn't I look nice? Why didn't I dress up and do my hair and makeup and wear fashionable clothes? Why didn't I wear a He-Man button down?" And like wanting to die. And then like now I got to take my picture with them and like almost crying because I wore a He-Man short sleeve button down. And then I went to like a Q&A in the audience and he saw me and said, He-Man shirt. And then I woke up, I think, and shame. Like, this show is going into my dreams.
Yeah.
Like, it was a man's short sleeve work shirt with a He-Man pattern. Yeah. And that's what I wore. And the thing is, I probably would have worn that.
If
I have that shirt.
If Cassie and I had not gotten to you prior to leaving the
house. Yeah, you would have screamed at me and made me change.
Oh my God, we would have burned it. But.
So dumb. Anyway, these people paid money for this shit. Can you believe it?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God.
Who are they?
All the way from
down. Did you already say them?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Down. I didn't. Down under. What are some of your favorite Australian phrases?
I love everything that they say on Bluey. Like they say, oh, for real life. And that sounded British.
That did. That's right. You love Bluey. So
I
love Bluey. I listen to Case File 900 times a day. So I just, in 1999. Maureen O'Connell, welcome. We love you and all our other Australian buddies,
Maureen.
Down there. Thank you so much. I'm going to send you stickers, so it may take a while. And I'm sending out others. I've been lazy as shit on that. God, I'm dumb. I just can't get it together.
Well, you could.
Well, I forget,
me.
Though. That's the thing because of my brain.
Yeah.
Janie Hansen, which I think is the cutest name.
The cutest.
Thank you so much, Janie. We're so excited you joined. And Michelle Goldner, thank you. Just today she joined in and made it in time to be on this one. We are so happy,
Michelle,
that you enjoy some terribly embarrassing Patreon episodes just for you.
We will apologize in advance for our drunken behavior in one episode.
Right. I mean, it was Just and absolutely terrible.
I received a text message from someone, another listener, who is going to join our group incognito. But she wants a live taping of us as well. She's like, I would kill to watch.
I'm going to try to, I promise, like, and put on YouTube. I was going to try to set up a camera, but the thing is now I have you behind this thing for our desk.
Well, that's where Betty
but
is.
But I maybe could like do a, I'll figure out an angle or something.
Also, we barely wear bras when we're taping, hideous.
You would have to like really prepare your eyes.
We'd have to prepare ahead of time.
But I'll try that if you're interested and try to put it on YouTube and also have a video of it.
Yeah, like I'm in my pajamas.
But your pajamas look really cool. I was at a New Year's party with these people, and everyone dressed up in like glittery, sparkle dresses, beautiful makeup, beautiful hair, these beautiful women. And then somehow I thought you had said you were just wearing your sweatpants, and I thought, oh, it's just sweatpants. And so I wore sweatpants.
But it didn't matter because...
And didn't do my makeup and my hair. I looked like I rolled under the dumpster.
We laughed so hard.
Oh, that was...
We have a Rodney Dangerfield meme story that we'll have to tell you another time because...
Oh, that we did.
It
I cried.
Is hysterical.
And I cry. I still cry when I think of it.
Sarah did it again. She did it again.
I ruined someone's whole life in just one second. And everyone laughed at this person. Instead of sympathy, they laughed.
No, we all loved it. We were like, God, we wished we would have thought of the...
You just had to know the meme.
Yeah. We just didn't know it, but it was the perfect...
Yeah. It was so perfect. It was the perfect meme for the situation. And that happens. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
You have a meme that is too perfect and you have to let it go.
Yeah.
A GIF or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we are back to old Forensic Files this week, and an actually very famous story. We are going to do our take on it. It's a story that gets me real riled up, and so I'm going to just apologize because I might have a few of my fits, as I have a few during it.
This is the first of the many shitty Peterson murderers.
Right. Never marry a Peterson is like a thing in true crime. And it's, well, Nutbar married a Peterson.
Nutbar married one. Yeah.
She sure did. But he's not a murdery Peterson. She would murder him.
Yeah.
For sure. He wouldn't marry. I mean, he thinks about murdering her every day.
But he's too afraid.
But he wouldn't.
Afraid.
He, oh my God, he wouldn't. He's too anxiety ridden.
No one would. Cassie would literally pull the knife out of her chest and just stab the shit out of
her. Oh, he knows that too. He wouldn't even go there.
She will never let anyone kill her.
Yeah. And she did send a picture of his balls accidentally
to
people.
She did.
So he has more reason than one to murder her. And she's Nutbar. He won't. He loves her.
And he's a good Peterson. But every other Peterson is horse shit.
Shitty.
So here's our first. He's the first one.
So we watched Forensic Files, a novel idea about notorious Michael Peterson, better known from the true crime documentary that first aired in 2004 called The Staircase.
Yes.
I watched that in my, because I was in, I think it was even in my, no, I was in my first, just in my first house. With my first husband. Jesus Christ. And that's kind of where something clicked. And I'm like, this true crime shit is fascinating.
Yeah.
And now the Netflix does have The Staircase on it. And they added like 8 more episodes to it. But like the first part was enough, I thought. I don't know. But a lot has changed in his case since this Forensic Files, so I do have some outside information for you. The crime itself took place at the very end of 2001, and all I remember really from 2001 is Rachel was born in the spring, and in the fall was September 11th, and like nothing else sunk in, because those were two such major events in my life. Nothing else. But I did like things like Gladiator won Best Picture. I loved that movie. Russell Crowe was hot as shit in that movie. And now he looks like he lives in a dumpster. He's a dumpster Santa, kind of.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, I loved it. Loved it. I loved it. No, it's very gory. You wouldn't enjoy it at all. There would be nothing for you in it. I loved every minute of it. I thought it was good. And Sex and the City got an Emmy for Best Comedy, which is now redone. I don't know if we needed it or not, but it is currently called And Just Like That.
Yes.
And it's on HBO, and I think there are 5 episodes out now. And every time I watch Sex and the City, I think the terrible puns are so bad that I get angry.
Yeah.
But I watch every episode, and I've watched And Just Like That every episode. I don't know why the show.
You have watched it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've watched every episode, went to the theater to see the movies. I think with you.
Yeah, we went to the movies. Yeah.
I have HBO now because I was going to start Succession. Is it? And I haven't yet. And I started that, and it's like I can't stop with it. I just get hooked. I don't know. I have no. I don't really like any of the characters, and I love it.
Yeah, it's not really.
It's nothing at all my thing. Mm-mm. No, and I love it. I don't know why. I'm dumb, again, like I said, and I just things pull me in against my will. I just can't help it, but I've seen everyone. I just need to always know what happens. I don't like any of these characters, but I have to know what happens. I don't know. Good for them, I think. Capturing the simple-minded, you know. And we're their force audience.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
There was a... just Lunchables began in 2001. Lunchables saved your life at all?
Well, my kids beg me for them.
Yeah.
Like, still, even when I'm like, no, I'll make you real homemade food, they still are like, please, can I go? I want the one with the Oreo.
Right. They're garbage food.
Yes.
And every mom owes their sanity to Lunchables. Yeah. I don't know what, I don't know how.
Is it even meat?
Oh, no.
It's like slimy.
None of it is food, I think.
Oh.
And I mean, I'm sure there's moms out there that are, I would never feed my child a Lunchable and maybe give their kid like good organic food. And
yeah,
I
there might be.
I didn't.
We're not them.
I didn't.
I fed my kids spaghetti and meatballs tonight.
I was the type, Rachel had the beets at 3 and she was on shots until she was 10. So it's 7 years where half an hour after she started eating, I had to give her an insulin shot, counting up all the carbs that she ate. And she was a kid that did not eat ever and would eat real slow. So I'd have to always be like, you have a time limit.
Right.
You have a time limit. Nobody else here does. I understand that, but you do. You have a time limit. You have to put this, you have to do this. And that, or you had to give a shot before she ate. And I never could do that because she just, whatever. But Lunchables, she would eat. And I could know because the whole thing had the carbs all
together.
Carbs together. I mean, it's terrible, but you could.
They really did save your life.
You got to do what you got to do. She was the pickiest eater.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just either would never eat or just eat huge shit. And I didn't have the time to say you can't leave the table until you're done. No, she had to eat something.
Right.
Oh, anyway. Atkins diet was huge then. So everyone was eating like huge Flintstone things of pterodactyl meat.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Bacon, and then Atkins diet doctor die of a heart attack?
I don't know.
I think he did.
But Rob Lowe does Atkins commercials.
Yeah.
So I will never speak ill of them.
I mean, lower carb dieting, keto and all that stuff is
dumb.
Paleo and all that is huge right now. It's just so, it's for me, it's a hard low carbs. I did that for a month. Remember? I did no carb.
Yeah.
Practically,
and it was the worst.
It's so hard
drink
to maintain that.
Yeah, everything I want to eat and everything I like to eat is pure carbs.
But then you also, you know, you need carbs.
Yeah, well,
macros.
I'm sure
that
I get my fucking fair share.
But yeah, the amount I eat is Paul Bunyan macros for the amount I supposed to have. But you only live once, and if you want a carb, go ahead.
If you want a giant gunt, go for
it. I mean, yeah, you're not going to be Cindy Crawford. You're going to be like Gunty us. LaRue. Yeah. Like my husband calls me Gunty LaRue.
Yeah. But, and we're going to wear yeah. it. We're going to wear okay our noodles and our potatoes proudly.
Yeah, whatevs.
Fuck.
So, I don't know. Did you find anything about 2001?
No, it was a lame year, but it was when Beyonce, you know, what was her group? Destiny's yeah. Child was everything.
They were.
Independent Woman came out. And then there was a weird also like, so it was the Destiny's Child slash weird alternative sort of rock bands like Lifehouse. You remember them and Matchbox 20? Yeah. I mean, they weren't really alternative. They were just like fake rock kind of. I don't know. So that was what was happening. There was really nothing. There's nothing great.
Yeah. People about just it at didn't all. Know how to do the 2000s. We thought so, mm-mm. you know, we'd spent our childhood thinking it would be a certain way. And then we realized it's shit. And right. then I think we all just didn't know what to do with ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There was a lot of country on the charts too. Like people liked, really were into Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw, it looks yeah. like, during this time. Oh, and Toby Keith.
Oh, jeez.
Well, no, thank you.
Oh, dear. All right. Should we begin with this shit show that is Michael Peterson?
None of these songs even made me want to sing.
Oh, that's not good.
Mm-mm.
That is not good because you like to sing every yeah, song.
I do.
You
do. There wasn't even one good oh, one my. Here. Oh, my God. O-Town had a hit. Do you remember O-Town?
Yes. Yes.
They were like a boy band that was on that TV show
yes.
with the perv guy who yep. also made...
NSYNC, right?
NSYNC, yeah. 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 Yeah, that guy...
He looked like a classic pedophile from the dictionary.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had a hit, All or Nothing.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I remember them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they had to made some sort of, I don't know, impact. Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Mm.
All right. We're going to travel back to 2001, like we just said, kind of a boring year, except for, you know, the terrible terrorist attack that changed everything. But this was after that, too.
Yeah.
Michael and Kathleen Peterson had been married for a while, but this was not their first relationship. They were older in love when they met. They had grown children. Michael had two sons from a previous marriage and two adopted girls from that we will kind of learn their story in a little bit. So we had four adult children. She had one adult daughter. They married Kathleen.
They were young adults.
They were young adults.
They were like in college. So, I mean, they were like 20s. Yeah.
College age and a little tiny bit older.
Yeah.
The sons, I think, were mid-20s.
Yeah.
The girls were young. Well, college age.
Yeah.
Kathleen was very successful. In fact, we see Diane Fanning, who was an author of the true crime book based on this. And she, I wrote, looked like... Tyne Daly, but I wrote older Janet Wood from yeah. Three's Company.
Yeah.
So picture Janet yep. from Three's Company.
Very dark
older.
Black yeah. hair.
Yeah.
Terrible glasses.
She talks about that Kathleen was a very successful businesswoman. I mean, making millions. She was worth millions at this Nortel Networks. She was also the first woman ever accepted into Duke University School of Engineering, which was probably in the fucking 70s or 80s. Why are you taking so long to accept a woman?
Because
fuck
you. Duke?
I guess.
I don't know.
She was super brilliant, really smart. She was the breadwinner. Michael, though, it says, was a decorated veteran of the Vietnam War, and he was an author as well and wrote a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
Called A Time for War. He had another book that was pretty well received. So he was probably just making royalties from some of his books. He did not have a job at the time of this murder. In fact, he did not have a job for the two previous years before this murder. Kathleen was the only worker. The thing was, they lived in a luxurious 10,000 square foot house.
Yeah.
How do you even, if I lived in a 10,000 square foot house, the filth. There's no way I could keep that clean. I would have to have help, obviously. There's no way. I couldn't have that many rooms. It just would be a shit show. I couldn't handle it.
I can't handle the rooms I have now.
Yeah.
How much is a normal house? Like two?
Well, ours is 2,600
or something.
And it's like enough, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. They show some wedding photos. Again, they were older. I don't know how long they had actually been married at this point. Not that long, I think. But the wedding photos are all of her on a staircase that they show. And I thought, did you really have to show those ones? Because the staircase comes into play in this big time. Mm-hmm. So they have the 5 grown sons. They have the 10,000 square foot home in Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And this one night at about 2 a.m., 911 gets a call. And it is... Well, it says it's James Peterson that was calling, but it was Michael Peterson, right?
Yeah.
I just did a printout or whatever.
Oh.
So Michael, there is no James Peterson.
No, there's no fucker named James Peterson.
He's saying, my wife had an accident. She's still breathing. I mean, that one sentence, just remember that. The operator says, what kind of accident? He says, she fell down the stairs. She's still breathing. Please come. And he sounds pretty uptight.
But this part, the 911 call lady goes, how many stairs?
Yeah. And he's like, 15, 20? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Stairs. It wasn't one stair. She would just be laughing at stairs. And he's like, can you like get somebody here?
She's like, please. Can you go count them right now?
No, I need to know an exact number for my notes. God damn it.
Michael.
He's
on the phone. 1, 2, 3.
Sir, are you counting well or are you just hurrying and you're counting? Because it seems like you're hurrying.
Please get an accurate count.
The paramedics come, and this is where his previous statement of my wife is still breathing, they're like, what? Because we see the paramedic who I wrote was handsome.
Uh-huh.
He said there was no signs of life, paramedic. No pulse, no respiratory rate. I mean, she, to him, was like long fucking dead. Mm-hmm. She would not have just died minutes before. She was dead for a while.
Yeah.
So that is sketchy there. And as well as I'd seen many documentaries on this man, and he just talks like this all the time. So I feel like his 911 call, even about very dramatic things, he doesn't have any affect.
Yeah.
I felt this was an act. I don't know. I mean, obviously it was, because I think. So the paramedics are coming in, and they notice poor Kathleen in her, like, sweaty sweatpant pajamas, barefoot, literally at the bottom of pretty shitty stairs for a mansion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Dynasty curved stairs or anything. No, it looks like...
Not like from their wedding.
It looks like if you've ever been to Mount Vernon in the back alley like stairs to like a creepy attic where kids are molesting each other.
Which I think it might have been. It might have just been the back flowers staircase into the kitchen.
Yes.
It wasn't like the main staircase in this mansion.
So it's very narrow staircase, but I mean, clearly a lot of steps. Probably like 18 to 20.
Yeah. Let me count.
Yeah, she's at the bottom and drenched in blood. Mm-hmm. Drenched in blood. And the blood spatter on the staircase is like if you... I mean, I upset so many people with the Travis story being so gory last week. I'm sorry, I'd give you a warning. But it's like if...
You have to give a warning on a true crime?
Well... I mean, if it's an animal, maybe, because people don't care about people.
No.
It's like if you took a hot air balloon or the hot air balloon part was filled with blood and you just squirted it on the staircase. So, or like Statue of Liberty had her diva cup and pulled it out and it spilled.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much blood that I think when the paramedics walked in, they were like, she didn't fucking fall down the stairs. I mean, we've all fallen downstairs.
We have.
And what, I mean, I've been lucky enough not to break anything, but I've never had like all of my blood squirt out onto the wall.
No. TT fell down the stairs last year or 2 years ago. And broke her hip, Grandma.
She did. And that's what I was going to say. You would have broken arms, maybe broken shoulder, broken hip, broken legs, because you put your arms out in front of you and you would tumble. Your hip would hit your elbows.
Right.
This woman had her head was almost smashed.
Yeah, it was gashed.
And there was bloody. So much blood squirting out of it. Well, not anymore because she was dead. I mean, it just was an absolute horror show.
There was no way that you could ever believe that all the blood that was there was just from somebody falling down the stairs. No. I would never in a million years.
You might get a rug burn scratch, or if not a hard cut, you might get a hit and you might just get a little bit of blood.
It just isn't. I mean,
anybody with a goddamn brain would walk in and say, this is a fucking horror show. Yeah. This woman was murdered. Yeah. That's all. That there's no other way around it ever.
Yep.
The paramedics say to Michael Peterson, sir, what happened? Michael says that he was outside by their pool just smoking his pipe. Like, you know, you do at 2 a.m., you know, and just, know, so when you don't have a job, I guess you can. Kathleen was upstairs working on the computer. 45 minutes after they were both out there, which he had said, drinking wine by the, you know, just looking at the pool. She had gone in to do some work on the computer. And then 45 minutes later, which was around 2 a.m., he said, when he called the police, he found Kathleen like she was at the bottom of the stairs with all this blood, covered in blood, laying there dead. Now, he said, well, she was drinking alcohol. We had wine. And then she had those goddamn sandals.
And they were jelly shoes.
They would have stuck to the stair.
They were flip-flop jelly shoes.
Why do men think women are so stupid that we just can't even walk
in shoes?
In shoes. That we're so clumsy that we're going to fall downstairs and have blood gushing from every orifice because we're wearing flip slippers.
And we're like, no, sir, we are the ones wearing the fucking Louboutins and walking all over your goddamn balls with them.
What? Why in the hell do they use?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Look at this. Might have been wearing this.
If she was wearing those Lady Gaga lobster claw shoes that are like 10 feet off the top, possibly.
Even Gaga didn't fall.
But she might have fallen and had a broken arm in her hip, and then or bumped her head, and maybe this idiot. They find when they take the body. They show photos, like you can go on and see photos of this. And when you see it, you're like, oh, holy hell. No way. Right. No way. No way.
Oh, nah.
And again, no injuries to her. No broken bones, which if you fell that badly, you would have one.
Right.
No fractures, nothing. Just, well, horror show on her head. Michael says, well, I didn't see her falling because I was at the pool.
I was smoking at 2 a.m.
But she was already at the bottom of the stairwell, and he assumed that must have been what happened. Toxicology reveals that Kathleen was a .07. She wasn't even legally drunk.
And
she's probably a booze hound that maybe could have handled way more than that. You can go down your damn stairs.
Yeah.
She could have driven a car.
Yep.
So that came from Frida Black, who was former assistant DA.
She looked shocked.
She had sempaku.
That, like, she was shocked at everything she was saying.
She had a face that was in constant alarm. Alarm.
Frida.
Did you want another of these? Or
Do you think we should?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, you can think about it.
Okay. I'm looking at the crotch stain right now.
Yes. She was below the legal limit.
Maybe we should have more.
And this comes from P. Dwayne. P. Dwayne Deaver, who is a nerd, and his name is P. Dwayne. P. Dwayne.
Deaver.
Deaver. P. Dwayne. He is the blood analysis guy. P. Dwayne.
Yep.
P. Dwayne.
Dwayne Diva.
The computer forensics guy gets her computer. No, it was not her computer she was working on because she didn't bring her laptop from work home that night. She had to work that night on Michael's computer, which could come into play here that she had to use his computer. They took the hard drive and they saw a lot of things, mm-hmm. a lot of things. And we'll get into what they saw there, but it did prove that she had been working on the computer. But it was far earlier. It was around midnight. She was working and stopped. Not 12. So there's, you know, or 45 minutes or whatever, 1:15, like he had said to 2.
Right.
It was way before that. So that's kind of a first thing that his story is kind of off. Besides the obvious murder scene that was in the house. So the Deborah Radish is our medical examiner.
We have Radish and Devers.
Yep. I felt she seemed kind of competent.
Yep.
Yeah. She knew what she was talking about. Yep. She sees the photographs and says, oh, hell no. I mean, just hell no. She says, I've seen a lot of falls downstairs or injuries. First of all, most people don't die when they fall down the stairs. They just break the shit out of their bones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She said it's very rare.
Very, very rare.
For someone to die.
And yeah, she just said, this blood is just fucked. This is not going to happen. Kathleen's death is like a huge news story in their town of Durham because her husband was pretty famous. He had run for mayor previously a few years before.
God, what a douche.
Now, Diane Fanning, the author, says that it was such a huge shock. They lived in a very peaceful, quiet, kind of rich neighborhood, obviously with their super mansion, kind of wooded. It was a great neighborhood. Things like that don't happen. Well, they do, I guess. They do.
Yeah, they do.
Her death, they're still kind of figuring it out, but at the scene was Michael's 25-year-old son, Todd. And he was there before the paramedics. He had not been there when the accident happened, as Michael and Todd said, but he came just before the paramedics came. How? How could he call the paramedics? Because Michael said he called the paramedics and then called Todd. Unless Todd lived like 3 houses down or whatever, the paramedics came right away. Yeah. How would Todd have got there?
I don't know.
And how would Todd just be silent and not have any questions or not? Todd did not say a word and he
didn't have any blood on him
to speak. He did not have any blood.
Yeah, but he wouldn't speak to the cops.
Right. He wouldn't speak to the cops. And if it's just an accident, wouldn't you just answer questions or say, my dad called me because he was upset that my stepmother just died. I'm here to comfort him. I don't know anything. He didn't say a word and he looked really shady. So I have my ideas of what was going on there. I'll say later.
Okay.
Frida, the DA, thinks that Todd was really jealous of the stepmother. I don't really know why, but
maybe because he thought his dad was still rich and like then she was gonna get all of his inheritance or something.
Maybe, but his dad had jack shit.
Right. Well, he didn't know, and no one really knew that yet,
I guess. And maybe he wanted the attention to his father to himself. What 25-year-old man really wants all their dad's attention?
A narcissist,
I guess. And that again, I have an idea on that as well, though. Okay. Michael said he called his son after the paramedics, and we'd be like, "Fuck you!" No, he didn't. And isn't there phone records? I can't remember. They didn't say that, but.
Yeah, I can't remember
what they were. Todd, again, did not refuse to speak, which I would find just weird. Like, you have nothing to say on this accident of your stepmother? Like, why are you... What? He refused everything. We see Art Holland, the homicide detective, and he just said he never talked. It was super fucking weird. Michael really didn't say much either, and his story was pretty fucked. Paramedics said that Kathleen's blood also did not look fresh when they arrived. In fact, it had already started to congeal and thicken up, and it looked like it had been there for hours, which it had.
Right.
And the wall on the staircase looked like it had been washed, and they showed a picture, and you could see where it looked like water clearly was running down over the blood. There was also another layer of blood spatter over the already dried blood.
Right.
So that made them think this is a prolonged. Did she, like all the other wives that were stabbed that fell on the knives multiple times? Did she fall down the stairs multiple times? Uh-huh. Oh, well, that was one of Michael's stories, that she fell down multiple times because she was dazed. No, she didn't.
No.
So the blood is telling a completely different story than Michael is. There's smearing on the wall. Well, it looks half clean.
He washed it, right? But then there was new blood spatter over what he had already washed.
Yes.
Yeah. And exactly. So they were like, what the fuck
is this going on? Yeah. And if, like, let's say I came home and Jamie did fall on the stairs and he was covered in blood everywhere, I wouldn't start cleaning.
No, cleaning would be the last thing I would ever do.
I wouldn't even touch it. I would have like other people come in and clean it.
Yeah.
Why cleaning it? Well, obviously you're trying to cover up the crime scene, you dick. Right. Mm-hmm. Why else? A man isn't going to just start cleaning. When I get nervous, I just start cleaning the house. No man's ever said that. Mm-mm. No man has ever cleaned the house unless it's weird ass. In a situation like that. Oh.
Right.
On top of that, Kathleen's feet were bloody as shit. The bottom of her feet. Yeah. So they thought she walked through her own blood. So again, we see the blood spatter over cleaned, congealed blood. She obviously had gotten up at some point, him thinking she was already dead, walked through her own blood to try to get away, and he beat the shit out of her again.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was down. Well, or something. Or she fell down the stairs again. Because that's what she would do.
Yeah.
You know what? I am a strong, independent woman. I'm going to try these stairs again. Stairs, you are not going to take me down. I said 2001 was my goddamn year, Stairs. And these jelly shoes.
Let me get these jellies on again.
I'm going to put them on my goddamn feet and get up that stairs and go, oh, jeez, I fell down again.
God.
No, Kathleen. I just really don't think that happened. Jesus H. Yeah. Why? How is this? I just can't even that this is still an ongoing saga. God damn it. It makes me mad. There were blood drops. Now, outside. Now, this will come in handy. Not outside the front door, but outside the back door towards the pool. Blood drops. Like a pool of blood, so it fell straight down, dropping on the back patio, and then a huge fucking smear stain on the back door towards the pool. So police like, oh, all right, that's weird that her blood is way over here and dripping down by the pool. So I don't know what that means. Blood on the door, and the detective saying there were all these red flags, and he started wondering, like, this is not what it appears to be in his story. His story was also fucked because he said he was with Kathleen by their pool having a drink around 1 a.m. He and Kathleen left to go up to Kathleen left. She wanted to go upstairs, work on the computer. He stayed outside smoking his pipe for about 45 more minutes.
Like, these are people who are our age. How are they up this late?
I don't know, because there is no way.
We didn't have to stay up.
That fool didn't have a job. But if I would be in bed immediately.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was December. Now, it's not our Minnesota December where your balls freeze and shatter if you go outside and you die.
No, not like
this was, you know, a southern December. It still was 50 degrees outside. And he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And a southern won't be outside in a shorts and a t-shirt, even if it's under 70, I have a feeling. I lived in California for a little bit. And if it was 70, I had sweatpants on and a sweatshirt. And was bundled up because I became so weak.
Oh,
now, I am a menopausal woman. Right. I can go outside in my underwear and bra top and horrify my neighbors. Yeah. And it's -5 and it's refreshing.
You were standing in the door, in the patio door on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Because of hot flashes.
Yes. Yeah. And it just would open up and I would say, oh, that's the stuff. And it was negative. So this man was not outside for 45 minutes. And Kathleen was like, Hell no, I'm not going outside and it's 50 without a coat. She didn't. I mean, she maybe went out for a tiny bit, or maybe that was their thing. They would have wine by the pool. That sounds lovely, in fact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This bitch was not outside at 50, sitting out there smoking in his shorts and t-shirt. You just, I mean, and the fact that that is very uncomfortable, even.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Minnesotans, we would be outside naked, just running around.
Yeah, the forensic meteorologist said it was
in a zone where it's
not in the comfort zone or something.
I mean, you could have a coat on if you're non-Minnesotan, but a Southern wouldn't.
No.
So that they were like, yeah, right, bitch. And besides the fact that they saw she was working on the computer at 12, they know that story is already horseshit.
Right. She sent an email at midnight.
Right. So he's not outside. She was on the computer earlier. But the thing that really I always go back to is when people say some other theories.
Yeah.
As Kathleen. Kathleen's autopsy, and there's these pictures are on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They shaved her head, as they do, I think, with wounds, and you can see like these are her head split open. Mm-hmm. She had 7 deep lacerations. I mean, these were deep into, I mean, like to the skull,
right?
On the top of her head,
cracked the skull.
Yes. And you don't get that from falling down the stairs. You get a bump, you know, like you're not going to 7 times, unless, of course, that bitch was said 2000. She said 2001 was her year and she was going to conquer those fucking stairs. She fell down 7 fucking times and split her skull open. Yep. But she was a determined woman. You don't get into first woman into Duke University engineering.
No.
If you don't conquer those fucking stairs.
No.
Her brain tissue, which you can't fake brain tissue, if this is what's really showing, had red neurons, which means her blood neurons were already shriveled and dying. And that takes anywhere from 2 to 6 hours to happen. So she had been injured, and it starts once you're injured, you're lacking oxygen. Blood is leaving so fast, it's not flowing to your brain.
So if you die immediately upon death, like if you smash into a tree or whatever, right? Like you wouldn't have those red neurons because you would die.
Right. Your body didn't have a chance to do that.
And your body wasn't trying to like keep itself alive for long enough.
Exactly.
So they knew that she hadn't just fell down the stairs, smashed her head.
Which tells them for at least 2 hours, she had been injured and struggling. So from her injury to where she died.
And he said there was only about 45 minutes that he was alone smoking.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she had 45 minutes, maybe, you know, but the paramedics had said she was long dead.
Right.
Also, the lady, remember that lady who fell off the deck onto the cement? She had red neurons.
Yes.
And so that's how they knew she didn't just...
Yes.
Whatever, they knew she had been there a while.
Yes.
Oh, no, she was found in the lake.
I thought it was by a pool.
No, she fell off a deck onto cement and the husband rolled her into the lake.
Oh, yes, there was a cement block.
Yes.
And they had to have the fat ass reenactment of the breaking of the railing. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
She had kind of the same thing, which shows, again, a lack of oxygen at some point, which makes me think, because one of her other injuries was a broken in her neck, a bone broken in the front, the thyroid or whatever bone, which is strangulation.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you would maybe break the back of your neck. I don't know if you would break right on your neck on those kind of stairs. Mm-mm. I don't know how that would happen either. So he obviously had strangled her at some point where she got a lack of oxygen. These neurons started kicking in as she's slowly bleeding out over a series of hours. Her death is ruled a clear homicide. And Michael Peterson is the only one in the house with her at the time. So, I mean, just that alone, well, you did it, unless someone broke in and killed her and left. But, I mean, that's hard to prove. My God. Idiot. Michael Peterson is on tape saying, Kathleen was my life. And then he says this. If Jamie ever said this, I would laugh until I peed.
Do you think we both wrote down the same thing that he
said? He said, I whispered her name in my heart 1,000 times. What does that mean? I whispered her name in my heart 1,000 times.
I had to stop it and rewrite it. I whispered her name on my heart 1,000. Yeah, and I was like, what?
That's dumb. What is, and it said, he said, she is there. But I can't stop crying in the most no affect face Mm-mm. I've ever seen.
Mm-mm.
I would never have done anything to hurt her. Well, you did fuck her multiple things here.
Yeah.
Police are really freaked out about Todd, the son, his unusual behavior that night. They wondered what his deal was. Why was he there? Why was he kind of creeping in the corner on the side, not saying a word? Michael Peterson is now a main suspect in Kathleen's death. They search her computer, which, like you said, it shows that Kathleen had sent an email to a coworker around midnight. There was really nothing after that. So she was obviously inside the house an hour before he said she went in the house. So his story is already proven wrong at that point. They also found thousands of gay porn pictures.
Yeah.
Michael's computer was filled to the brim with gay porn and gay Bob fashion accessories.
It looks like the members of Whitesnake wearing no pants in the clips that they were showing.
He had a type.
They were like all these men.
He had a type. Maybe a poisoner in there. A poison.
Yep.
Michael also had in his desk, because he was a dumb bitch and printed these out.
Why, again, why are people printing out emails that implicate an affair?
You have to be so narcissistic that if you get caught, you would think the person would never want to leave you because you're you. And then it shows you other people want me too. See?
Why are you printing it off?
I don't know.
Unless there was like an address and your GPS was broken. I guess in 2001, maybe people still needed to print off things for directions. But come on!
I don't know.
This was just like setting up sex dates.
Right. To read it again, you would just go into your email. Unless he deleted them from his email and wanted to keep records of them. Now, the emails were to a male prostitute. Now, just like Ted Haggard, can't you just get a boyfriend?
Right.
Why not just get a boyfriend? The emails were plans to meet up for sex, I guess, obviously. And one email said, evenings aren't great for me. I'm married, very happily married, with a dynamite wife.
He said
that's what
dynamite
every
wife.
Non-gay man says. I'm happily married to a dynamite wife. Right there, you know, gay. And then he says, yes, I know I'm very bi. You're not bi, sir. You are gay.
Yeah.
You are gay.
Very bi.
You are not very bi.
Again, I was like,
you are very gay.
Dynamite.
And that's all there is to it. Sir, you married Kathleen because she was coming in with the cash.
That's gay Bob lingo from the 70s.
No
dynamite.
I can't even. And what? Just have a boyfriend then. I don't know. Why not just have a boyfriend and be normal? And I understand you had your image. You wanted to be mayor, all this kind of stuff. You probably wanted to have the white rich wife to go with it and fund his thing. I don't know. The emails also said Michael had other relationships with other men. One was a college lacrosse player. Well, go for the lacrosse player.
God, he's young and able-bodied.
No kidding. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. What is thought of is that Kathleen forgets the one night she forgets her laptop. She goes to use his computer, turns it on, and oh, holy shit, there's just dick everywhere. Mm-hmm. Dick to the left and dick to the right and dick to the top, dick to the bottom.
And somebody's singing, here everywhere. Go again. Yeah.
Yes. She opens up a drawer to put on some sunglasses because there's so much dick flying in her face, and then she finds more dick and she finds emails and she goes ballistic and says, what the hell is this dick all over for? I feel like that probably could make sense. That might have upset her a little bit. Mm-hmm. They look into the Peterson finances and find that Michael had nothing. He hadn't even made any income for 2 years. He had no job. Kathleen's money was supporting the entire household, all of his kids' education. She was giving money to his kids, her daughter, and all the expenses of just their life, mm-hmm. everything. Their credit card debt was $143,000. Mm-hmm. And Michael's two grown sons, frickin' Frack, were begging for money all the time. You're in your mid to late 20s. Get a job, dicks.
Yeah.
Your parents don't owe you anything. Go fuck yourselves. But that's why I think that, what was the son's name?
Todd.
Give me a break,
the worst
Todd.
Name.
Todd, oh my God, Todd mm-hmm. comes over and Michael said, you're going to help me cover this fucking shit up or you're never going to see a dime.
Mm-hmm.
I own you. You're going to take whatever it was that he fucking killed her with and go out in the yard and fucking hide this or do whatever. And you're not going to say a fucking thing. If right. you want to see any of this money, you're going to be quiet and fucking stand there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think he did. Being raised by a narcissistic, psychotic parent,
yeah.
you do whatever. You're just trained to do that. And obviously they were spoiled fucking weirdos.
He had something over him too, because when he divorced his first wife, he kept the two adopted girls. She had both of their boys, but then yes. their boys moved in with him
yeah,
subsequently.
Yeah.
So it was there was something weird going on
here.
Yeah.
But Kathleen had a ton of stock in her business worth almost $3 million. But a drop in stock prices with a crash, now it's only worth $50,000. Not even enough to cover their credit cards.
No.
So they were really struggling with money. And Michael knew Kathleen had a $2 million life insurance policy, which could pay off his bills, get rid of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She probably had, maybe would get something, like if he kept her stock and wait for that to go up and sell that too. He's thinking he could maybe get another $2 million again if it went back up. And he could have all the dick in his face that he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, life was coming up dick for him in his thoughts. Diane Fanning, who is old Janet Wood, says money and sex are the oldest motives, and mm-hmm. Michael Peterson had both. Of course he did. Of course he did. You walk in and see the scene alone. You think, sir, your story makes no sense. This is clearly a beating and a murder. My God, sir. Why right. did they say... And she's dead. There's no life saving. Right. You need to explain this, you dick.
Right.
Like, you're coming down with us right now. Like, you clearly just killed this woman. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Is it because he was, like, a rich... Rich? You're going to answer some questions. Come on. This woman was beaten. Oh, piss. I can't. Now, on top of all of this dick stuff, they say... Well, the motive is an evidence of murder. Well, my God, the evidence of murder was the clear blood-spattered wife in the bloody scene. But I guess that you need more. I understand. Michael's whole fucking clothes were covered in blood.
Yes.
Which he could explain away as, like, I cradled her head. But no, the whole crotch was red, like his period leaked. And he had blood spatter all over his shorts.
Yes.
Clear, visible spatter. And obviously there was microscopic spatter right. all over. And blood all up on the inside right. of his shorts. How would you get blood spatter on the inside of your shorts unless you were over someone beating them?
Well, there That's is the a only difference. Way. Like Rory got a bloody nose on me yesterday morning. Of course, because he was in my bed.
What?
And he woke up and leaned over and he just had blood pouring all over my arm and
of
shoulder.
Course.
Right? Like... It's not the same as when you fucking smash a steak or whatever yeah. it was into, not a steak like that you eat, like
yeah.
a fucking whatever it was, the fire.
The fire.
Fire
there's some
poker yeah. thing.
There's
on
some
someone's
controversy
head. It's a
over,
different
yeah.
blood.
Of course. And you don't get spatter. There
no.
was you could see spatter on her shorts. You could see it with your eyes. It was there. There is only one way that gets there. That's not a
yeah.
smear. It's a spatter, and it even had a tail, like it was flying in a direction.
Right.
You can see the direction it was coming from below his shorts. She was on the ground already.
Which they then tried to reenact with Carol's male counterpart, Doug.
Yes.
And they made him...
They dressed him up in some plastic bags and some Ziploc bags and said, Doug, and then they put shorts over here, Doug.
Shorts over.
Put these ball tight shorts on. Yes, yeah. They are an extra small, and you are quite a big sir. You put them on, Doug. Get over here,
and
Doug.
Carol
now,
was
this.
In the corner just yeah. laughing. Yeah, like, thank
she thought
God.
It's not my turn.
Thank God I didn't have to lay there in the jelly shoes.
No.
Now Doug's gonna take one for the team, and then he would smash
the shit out of
stuff and make blood go into his crotch, and then. Yeah. A woman with a camera would get up as close as like his pubes were for sure stuck in her eyelashes, and she was taking pictures of the blood spatter.
And she would joke and say, can I get the zoom in lens to see this?
Can you maybe lift one of those balls up just a bit so I can get in there better at a good angle? Thanks, Doug.
Oh, poor Doug. Yep. Oh, shit. So his pants are a shit show. He also clearly either was masturbating over his pants or trying to rub all the bloodstains off. But what they said is he never could see behind him, and he didn't realize how much fucking blood spatter was on behind his pants. He never took off his shorts. I mean, he had shorts. He had blood spatter all over the back of his shorts, all in his crotch and his butt area.
When you see those shorts, which they show, unfortunately...
Jesus, yes.
It's not just a little blood spatter.
No. And what is he putting his dick in his dead wife's mouth as a joke to get all that blood in his crotch?
I don't know.
Like, but, is he standing over her dead face?
Yes,
just
it was
ball
all over
teabagging
the bottom.
Her?
Oh.
I teabagged a dead woman. Is that his next chat room?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Jeez.
That's probably why the... lacrosse player dumped him. He was like, no thanks.
Yeah, you keep
I'll go on
teabagging everybody.
Bigger and better things.
Oh, so he clearly has bloody clothes. With the blood spatter, he clearly attempted to clean his pants. So again, if Jamie had fallen down the stairs, was in a pool of blood, I wouldn't think of just cleaning up, tidying up my clothes.
No.
I wear corpse clothes to public places.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care how they saw me.
Like we said, period stains ain't, they ain't nothing.
When I go to a dressing room and change in front of friends, some friends scream, oh my God, look at your underwear. Sometimes people scream that in public at you.
Who
when you
would do that?
I don't know. Terrible person.
Just because of a period stain in the underwear? How
terrible.
Rude.
Oh, shit. P. Dwayne says the individual wearing these blood spattered shorts is very clearly the person who committed the crime because they were standing over the victim, kind of legs open. So he was probably straddling her and beating the shit out of her head.
Right.
And also casting blood onto the back of his shirt and the back of his shorts as well as he's swinging over his head. The thing that really got me too is that this dick stepped on her because they have his fucking shoe, bloody shoe print on her fucking back. So he just stepped on her and probably fucking pushed her down, held her down with his foot and beat her some more.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was trying to climb, crawl somewhere and he just held her down.
Yeah, well, because the blood print, I mean, the footprint was in blood.
Yes.
So it wasn't just like, oops, I was trying to help her and I stepped on a little part of her, you know, back pant leg and it was just dirt. No.
Yeah, but he did not have shoes on when the paramedics came. He took off his shoes and put them away somewhere. So they had to ask for them and find them to find this match.
Because
she was barefoot, knew that he was tracking blood all around.
Yep.
And probably had mopped up some of that blood eventually. Because he had a long time to try to clean up and figure out what to do. Oh, shit. Again, they're saying if your spouse has just been found dead, the last thing you're doing is cleaning yourself and taking your shoes off and making yourself more at home.
Mm-hmm.
There was not any blood on Todd Peterson's clothes. They felt he was probably called in and had been there to kind of help. Mm-hmm. Oh, holy shit, what happened type deal. Since he's not talking, they really just have nothing on him. Michael Peterson doesn't implicate him in any way, but I always had a feeling like he was just there like, holy shit, Dad, what did you do? Yeah. And he made him help clean up some shit.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of evidence here.
And some missing evidence because yes. they can't find.
They figure it is something like a poker, a fireplace poker that it is in much of their pictures. And this fireplace poker was a gift to Kathleen from her sisters or something like that. So they kind of know what to look for. But there's a thing that comes up about that I'll get into.
Okay, okay.
What really is fucking weird is that 16 years earlier, Michael and his first wife are in Germany because Michael was in the army, something like that. Their next door neighbor, her name was Liz Ratliff, who was also had a widow. Her husband, I think, was in the army or something and had died. She was really good friends with Michael and his first wife. I can't remember. They show a picture of Liz Ratliff. She looks exactly like you wouldn't be able to tell her from Kathleen, which is fucking weird.
Yes. His first wife was Patricia.
Oh, Patricia.
So Patricia and Michael and their two boys were in Germany and befriended Elizabeth and George, who were married at the time. Right. And then their two
They had two daughters.
Yes.
The thing that happens is Liz is also found dead at the bottom of the stairs.
Well, first George died.
George dies. So yes. She is a widow. And she is quite wealthy, a wealthy yes. widow. Michael becomes very close with her. In fact, he is the beneficiary of her will. And Michael and Patricia agree if anything happens to her, they would take the two girls.
Yes.
Then pretty much after that, pretty quick, Liz is dead. Dead at the bottom of stairs.
The nanny found her the next morning after she fell.
Right. And there was stories, the death is what was never brought up because it was ruled an accident. Because people around her, I think even Michael or whatever, or I don't know, had said she was complaining of headaches. And she, it looked like to the ME at the time that she had some kind of weird brain aneurysm.
Blood
or something.
Clotting. Yes. Yeah. Something
in her
happened.
Head.
Yes.
And then Michael Peterson, what they find when they dig her up again, actually, this Liz. They get okay to dig her up, look at her skull, and she also has 7 lacerations on her skull, which look like beating blunt force trauma lacerations.
How are you an ME and you say she has an aneurysm and not look at the gashes in the back of her fucking head?
I don't know. They said there was no blood found when she was found, but then people who saw it and found her said, no, there was blood everywhere. And I think the nanny or a cleaning lady actually had to clean it all up. So maybe the pictures were not found of it because it had been all cleaned, but the nanny, whoever found her, said blood was all over the stairs. Blood was everywhere. So there's kind of 2 different stories to that. But her death is now ruled a homicide instead of accident 16 years later. Her 2 daughters are being raised by Michael Peterson, who was the last person to see her alive and probably the person who killed her, is what they are saying here. Idiot. Just a psycho. Kathleen, again, as well, has the 7 lacerations on her skull that they say looks like it was a very thin, hard object, which gives them the idea that it's the poker from the fireplace, which also makes sense because she would have like holes and then lines, which looks like a poker has that like claw coming out.
Yeah.
That could have gone in and then the line of the metal still continues. And it kind of looked like that, like a few, I don't know, in the cracks in her head. The thing is, they could not find anywhere in all these searches. They couldn't find the poker. In the 2004 French documentary called The Staircase, you can see on Netflix, the first original 8 or whatever.
Right.
During his trial, they find that same poker in the garage, and it is covered with, it looks like, years of dust and spider webs. And it clearly hadn't just been put there because it was like in somewhere, like it had been there for a while. And even the prosecution is like, that's obviously was not used in the murder, but they could have just gotten rid of that one and got another one. And that could have been, they could have had another one. And that one obviously wasn't in the house, but they obviously had pictures of using, they used pokers. So maybe they didn't want to use that one because it was fucked and they used another one. I mean, they could have, but that one's nowhere to be found because I'm sure fucking Todd did something to it. Or Todd was cleaning while Michael hid it somewhere. Right, right. And then the police didn't look there and he had time to go drive it somewhere else in the next day and before a search and got rid of it. So there's kind of some controversy over this poker, but it's clearly it looks like some metal rod because it's thin, all these thin cuts in her head that are just
curved.
Deep. Yes. Yeah. They didn't have DNA on anything like that, but his DNA would have been all over her anyway, really. What the prosecutors do think is that Kathleen went inside. Michael was probably inside, and there probably wasn't any out by the pool, or they had been out by the pool earlier that night, and they both were inside. Kathleen goes to work on the computer, and she finds all that dick flies into her face when she turns it on. She discovers, holy shit, he's having an affair with a man. Now, Michael in court said, well, you know what? She knew I was bi, and she knew I was having sex with all these men.
But we had a happy marriage.
But, you know, she was totally fine with it. No, she wasn't. Why did you have to hide all this shit then? I guess he didn't hide it very well. What? She maybe knew you were bi and was fine with it. Fine. Okay, but no, what? She doesn't want you having affairs with men and having unprotected sex maybe with all these men and having all these boyfriends.
No,
she doesn't want you to be having affairs.
And the kids certainly didn't know.
I mean, all her friends and her sister said in this documentary, hell no, she never said a word about this. She would have been fucking pissed. This would have not, she would have just said, if you want a boyfriend, go have a boyfriend. But my God, I don't want a husband that's cheating on me. And then that's clear. I mean, he's clearly just gay.
Yeah.
I want, if you're going to be with me, then be with me.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Idiot. She goes downstairs, yells at him and says, what is all this stuff? You have this male prostitute you've been meeting and paying for, you know, and she's paying for everything too.
Right.
He's using all this money paying for gay sex workers.
Yeah.
You know, my God, she's probably started screaming at him. And I bet that was something that he never wanted to discuss with her or discuss with anyone.
Right.
And maybe just snapped. And
he was so hideous. He couldn't get anyone to date him.
Holy shit. And he picked up whatever was near him and started beating the shit out of her.
Yeah.
You know, kicking her once she was bleeding all over, kicking her down.
Stepping on her.
Yes. Once she was
screaming about her jelly shoes.
Yeah. Unconscious. He removes his shoes. While he's cleaning, he starts trying to clean everything up and stage the scene, realizing it's so much fucking blood. He probably just can't. Then at some point she wakes up, stands up, tries to get away, and he starts beating the shit out of her again, which puts all the new blood layers and blood spatter over all the dried blood spatter and the stuff he had already seen. She had the brain cells that proved she had been lying on the floor for at least 2 hours, maybe even 6 hours, but probably 2 hours. So, I mean, a long ass time. I mean, two probably, because 2:30, I think, was when paramedics started coming. I bet she went up to use the computer and send that email and then found his email or looked at his email. Someone went out the back porch carrying something, because that's what the blood drops were. They carried the murder weapon out towards the pool in the backyard. I mean, probably hid it for that time and then someone drove it away or whatever, or went out to the garage and what's his name put it in his car or something. I don't know. But that's what they feel like happened here. Michael tried to wipe the blood off before paramedics came.
He did a shitty job
because it was all over.
And he was a man who didn't know how to clean.
Right. Just fucked. Michael Peterson, of course, denies it. And if you watch the staircase, the French documentary crew comes and is there filming his day-to-day life. He gets out on bail and he has to be at home, and his lawyer comes and they film all the lawyer meetings. His daughters are all on his side. His sons are all on his side. The only one that thinks he's a fucking murderer is Kathleen's daughter and Kathleen's sisters as well. And all of Kathleen's friends know he did it. And so it splits the children quite a bit, because the one smart daughter, Caitlin, said when she saw the autopsy, obviously this isn't a fall down the stairs. Right. And he's lying. Oh, the jury unanimously finds this fuck guilty of first degree murder, even though it might have been a spur of the moment due to anger. And I guess North Carolina, first degree murder could be the second he thought, I'm going to kill her. That's those seconds. Yes. He thought he could outsmart everybody because of his extreme narcissism. He got away with it in Germany and he thought everyone would be just as stupid. And he thought he could just do the same thing. And obviously, it didn't work out. He was sentenced to prison. But what happened is that P. Duane lied about a few things. P. Duane lied about his experience and how many cases he had actually solved. In a little...
P. Duane Dweeber.
Yeah.
Come on.
So all of his testimony had to be stripped and it couldn't count. And Michael got a retrial.
After appeals, right? Like he
After all the appeals. And, he got out then for a while, and then he did an Elford plea, which is him saying, I'm not guilty, but I recognize that you have a whole lot of evidence that's going to have me be guilty. Right.
And that was February of 2017.
Yes. And the judge said, all right, time served, and he's out. Is living his life, this dick.
Yep.
Now, the thing that comes up all the time in this case, which kind of makes, because this case is salacious, you know, and gory and bloody, is this owl theory. So while he was going through his appeals, some dick neighbor of his, like 2 weeks before this murder, said he was walking and an owl came close to his head and almost scratched him or something like that, or attacked him.
Right.
So he said there could be these attacking owls in our neighborhood, and maybe she went out on her front porch for some fucking dumb reason and stood by her front porch, her front door.
I thought it was by the back. I thought that's how they were trying to explain the blood that went out the back door.
She got
attacked on her way in from the pool.
But it couldn't have been. It had to be the front, because he would have seen her, because he, in his story, he was there the whole time. It's when she went in the front door. She went out the front door because he could not hear anything, because his story was he was all the way at the back of the house at the pool. If it happened at the pool where that blood was, he was literally right there. He would have seen it all and helped her.
So, and she had hair in her hand, too, or something, right? When she was dead.
That could have happened at any point.
Right, when you're trying to
protect yourself from her husband beating her.
Yes.
So this theory came, too, because in her hair, they said they had found two microscopic owl hairs, which I'm sure everyone has in their hair. These, again, are microscopic. So what they think is she was in her front porch, an owl came and scratched the shit out of her head while she obviously just stood there like a dumbass, I guess, and let it happen. But you would think you would move your hands and there would be more. There were no owl feathers in the front house.
No.
The owl's, if an owl's on your head scratching the shit out of you, attacking you and screaming, it's going to have feathers falling out and wings flapping.
More than just micro.
There would be blood spatter all over your front door, all over the front porch, all over everywhere. There would be so much. If it was seven lacerations that an owl did, you would be bleeding so badly. There would be blood. You would hold your hand. There'd be blood on the doorknob. There would be blood from the door to the kitchen where she maybe would have went to clean up or get heading out to get Scott to go drive her to the hospital, or not Scott Peterson, Michael Peterson. Too many dead Petersons.
Those fucking Petersons.
What the hell? And so if she just would have, they said, well, she passed out at the stairs. Well, why then is blood squirting up at a 2-foot level from her head wound?
Right.
Why is there no blood from the door to where she fell?
From an owl scratch.
Right. Why is there blood on the bottom of her feet all of a sudden when there's no blood where she walked at all? There would be blood everywhere if she had these seven deep cuts. Why is her neck broken? Why did she have the red neurons?
They even paid somebody, like an owl person, to come in and do, like, to try to prove that it really could happen.
It's the most ridiculous, stupid thing I've ever heard. Yes, an owl has fucking talons. It could rip you apart. And that did not happen. Where is the blood? And she could have been screaming. She would have, you know, went in.
Oh, we should stop right now and say we're talking about animals killing people.
Well, no, they want the animals
dying.
This
one didn't really.
Yeah. The animal dying.
Oh, that too. Was the problem.
Yeah.
This owl didn't really exist.
This was a fucking dumb owl.
But people really think it.
They do, and I think it's so dumb. Then how did he get blood spatter in his crotch? Why is his crotch soaking wet? So then she did get hit by an owl and he still teabagged her?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
It doesn't match any of the other evidence. You're a fucking asshole dumbass if you believe in this. It is him. It is her husband. An owl did not swoop out of nowhere and start clawing the shit out of her head and say, fuck you, bitch. You are a fucking bitch. And I just want to claw the shit out of your head right now and then break your neck bones in the front. And then I'm not going to leave any feathers except microscopic 2 feathers in your head. And then no claw tissue or anything, claws getting stuck in your hair or anything.
And then
go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I will leave your jelly shoes here for somebody else to find.
Right. No, how would she have gotten in the house without blood all over from where she was to where she fell? There was not a drop. And then the blood, again, how did it get up all over the wall?
Well, it was him.
Obviously.
That's how it did.
Yes. I can't.
But this old bastard is now walking around like Gollum.
Yep.
Just living his life.
Free as
a bird. After he killed 2 women.
Except Caitlin, who took him to claims court.
Yeah, Caitlin.
And they heard all the evidence and thought he was guilty as fuck.
It's just like OJ.
Yeah.
When it's in the civil trial. Yes,
because they awarded her $25 million that he has to pay. But he, of course, filed bankruptcy right away. She blocked that.
Yeah.
So she gets any money he makes. This dick wrote 2 books about the crime, him being innocent.
Did no one ever buy it?
I hope not. God, I hate him so much. He's just a complete narcissistic wiener that looks like a walking ball sack. I hate him.
So, yeah. Me too. I was trying to see what did he...
They're going to make a movie, I guess, on HBO or something. I don't even want this more attention to it.
Behind the Staircase was his biographical.
And I don't want this movie, better not say this owl shit.
No, that was independently published. So he didn't even really have a publisher. Because I'm sure people were like,
criminals or cons were supposed to be able to get money off of their story. I thought that was a thing.
Maybe you could if you were independently publishing it.
Maybe, I don't know.
I hope no one bought it. Fuck.
Well, and what's he going to say? I don't know. I found my wife dead, and I don't know anything else. Bye.
Yeah, I don't know how I got blood in my crotch.
I just... This case is infuriating to me.
So, yes, we actually did this case. I was just looking up, because when I rewatched this Forensic Files, I was like, I feel like we've done this before, but I think it's just because you've heard the story many times.
Yeah. We've talked about it too on our Patreon. People have asked.
Yes. Oh yeah, they've asked if we could do this. Yes. So there's like the mini series that you talked about, and then it's been on Dateline.
Yes.
NBC. It was called Reversal of Fortune, and then Dateline also did one called Down the Back Staircase, and then Criminal.
Yeah.
Did Animal Instincts on it.
They probably talk about the owl.
Yes. And then My Favorite Murder
did
this one in their 100th episode.
Oh, see, it's saved it for 100.
Very famous. We just did a random.
Yeah. We did it for random.
For this dick, Michael.
Because he is a dick. Just like Scott is a dick. Just like Drew is a super dick. All of them are narcissistic wieners that don't deserve the time of day from anyone, gay or bi.
No.
Or straight.
Nobody deserves to give the fucking Petersons any
love. No.
Oh, I hope all of his kids are really sad that they stood by him now, because Caitlin's the only sibling who walked
away with anything.
No, they're
all happy he's free and he didn't do nothing.
And he's
destitute. Even though it makes no fucking sense.
Because he had to give all of his money.
Well, they know he's a dick because you know your dad, but they're not
going to. Does he get the insurance money then?
You can't if you
if you are convicted of
murdering them. No.
Then you can't.
No.
But then, if he was a real retrial and he wasn't really convicted, he did that plea.
It's still, I don't know. He doesn't have to say he's guilty, but it's still, I don't know, a criminal plea? I don't know.
He's still
convicted. He gets nothing,
or something.
I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. He better not.
And I don't know. He sucks. All right. Well, if you can give us a review, that would be great.
Oh,
we've been getting some great reviews. Join our Facebook group. Follow us on Instagram. Tell your friends. Spread the word. We would be so happy to get more listeners that are just like our wonderful listeners right now that we have that seem just like friends. We'll need to go around and just have meets. Or we can just hang out at
a
bar.
I know. I just looked it up because I couldn't take it. In 2004, Caitlin, his daughter, and her biological father got the $1.5 million.
Oh, good.
So her ex-husband and Caitlin's
good. And
dad.
I hope she told him to suck it and piss off.
Yep.
And get bent, dick. That's what she said.
Michael Peterson also looks literally hideous.
Like a ball. Like he puts a ball sack on his head and that's his face.
Gollum
walks
ball around sack. And he is scary. Thanks for listening. And bye.